I want you to open your Bible to 2 Chronicles in chapter 20 and verse 20. That's not what we're going to preach today. But there is a word. This is a word from God for you. It applies to everybody in here. But there is at least two people in here I know this word is for, and one primarily. And I went to go tell the person this word, and God said, no, I couldn't. But I want you to look at 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter 20 and verse 20. This word is for somebody in here. Are you ready? Is God here?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a thought. When Jesus walked on the earth, Jesus went to a place, and it says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I want to give you this word because, man, I want to preach. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Do you want your life to be established? Then it says, believe in the Lord your God. Do you want your life to prosper? Then you got to understand, God puts leaders in your life, and when you don't listen, you're not listening to God. Do you understand? That means if they're a child and they're in the home and they don't listen, in the Old Testament, if a child would not keep listening, the whole town took them out to a pit and stoned them to death. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, firm, strong. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. That doesn't just mean when we're standing up here as pastor and pastorette, okay? What it means is, if God puts somebody in your life, they are an authority, somebody's speaking into you, you need to pay attention on purpose as if your life depended on it, because it does. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, I feel better now. All right. Title of the sermon, do you believe God? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Now, how do you believe God? You see, in James chapter 2, verse 19, it said, thou believest, this wasn't even in my notes, this is just free, okay? James 2, 19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There going to be any devils in heaven? Do the devils get to experience in a blessed way the presence of God? Do they get his favor, his presence, his light, his love? But they believe in God. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. James 2:19. First of all, it says that directly. I didn't make it up. Number two, go read the Gospels. When Jesus would walk up to somebody that had a demon, what did they do? The demons fell. The demons cried out, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? They knew who Jesus was. When Paul, Acts chapter 16, went into a town and began to turn the town upside down for Jesus, this woman that was full of demons tried to interrupt what he's doing. And what she said sounds good, but God doesn't want demons testifying of him. God wants us to testify of him. You could say the right thing in the wrong spirit. Anybody ever said to you, you ask them, how you doing? And they said, fine. And you knew they were lying. I'm sorry. And you knew they weren't. Lying like a rug. It ain't just saying what's right, it's meaning what's right. It's the spirit that it's delivered in. Do you believe God? How do you believe God? You could believe in God, but how do you believe God? How do you believe God? Where is the evidence that you are believing God? If you were put on trial today, folks, it won't be long, especially if we keep having the same president. It won't be long before Christians will be put on trial. They're already being put on trial all over the world and even in America back 20, 30 years ago. But it's going to become prevalent. It's going to become nationwide, not just isolated cases. If you were put on trial for your belief in God, is there enough evidence to convict you? How does your belief in God change your life? How does your belief in God, where's the decisions you make that show your belief in God? What are you right now? What are you believing God for? What has he told you? What has he promised? You see, I know every one of you believes in God to some degree. You know why? Let me show you how. I know. Because you're here. Ones that don't believe in God, I'm not just saying here, but in God's house. Do you understand? There's many, more in this city than not, that are not in God's house. They do not believe in God. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? Then you believe in God. Because it doesn't make sense in the natural to tithe. How in the daylights could, if I have $100, I'm going to give $10, I'm going to trust God with $10. And that $90 is going to go as far or further than the $100. That doesn't make sense. I told you, when we first started tithing, I made $120 a week. I made $3 an hour. You want to trade with me? You think you make little. And we had 5 kids. I married a woman with 4 kids. Immediately, 20 years of age, because it wasn't until a little over, almost 2 months later, I became 21. And we started, and I didn't even have a job the day we got married. I got married on a Saturday and started work on Monday at $3 an hour, whopping $3 an hour. I brought home $94 and change. They told me this tithing thing, it didn't make sense at all. What? You have got to be kidding. And Sue, I said, is that in the Bible? She opened that Bible. She showed me about 3 or 4 places. That was all she wrote. If the Bible said it, I'm going to do it. Because that's how I met Jesus, by opening that Bible as a drug dealer. And I met Jesus. And from that point forward, I said, if it's in the Bible, I'm doing it. Period. Not if I like it, not if it's convenient, not if it makes sense. God said it, that settles it. It don't matter if I believe it or not, it's true. Do you understand? Do you believe God? See, I already know you do to some degree. You want to believe God more? You want to go forward with God? Because I'm going to tell you, things are going to get worse for Christians. This guy in the White House, I'm sorry, this president in the White House is anti-Christ. Every decision he makes, I don't care what his little tongue like a snake says, every decision he makes is anti-Christ, anti-truth. He has done more than any one man in all of history to tear down and destroy America. But it's because we, as a nation, elected him in there. I'm not faulting him. Where are we? Do we believe in God? I want to read you a couple of verses. I want you to write them down. I want you to go back and I want you to look them up later. Okay? We're going to talk about them later, another day, but I'm just going to read them to you right now. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. He preserves them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, a man who had a heart full of faith, and you made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and you have performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Luke 1:45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Romans 4:20-21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Are you in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1? Are you in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1? I don't know if you've ever heard this, but in Hebrews chapter 11, you've heard of the Hall of Fame. Well, this is called the Hall of Faith, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm going to read the first couple of verses while you're turning there, and then I want you to read the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, And by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. That means like in Star Trek, beam me up. He was translated from this earth. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God lives, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, go through the end of the chapter and don't be in a hurry.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Do you believe God? Do you believe God? How do you believe God? I'm asking. How do you believe God? Do you pray? How often do you pray? Do you pray about everything? Do you have like a 5-minute prayer in the morning and then try to go through your day? How do you pray? Do you believe God? I'm asking. How do you believe God? Do you believe Him? I'll just wait. How do you believe God? Hear what she said? You have to pray when you can't see it. You have to pray when you can't hear it. You have to simply believe God. Well, how do you know? How are you able to believe God? This lady came to us not even knowing God. She came to us not even believing in God, not even knowing God, not knowing anything about God. What she knew about God, sorry, but most of it was wrong. What she did was God worked it out where that lady came to us and said, would you come pray for her daughter? God's like, yes, go pray for her at the hospital. We went there. We're saying, God, what do you want to say? We know a lot of verses in the Bible. We've prayed for a lot of people, but what do you want to say right now? The Bible, you need to get this. The Bible tells you what's available from God. But in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, He won't tell you what's right now applicable. Not what you heard a year ago or 5 years ago or what somebody else did. Do you got a God? Yes. Is He alive in you?
Yes.
All right. Then do you believe in God?
Yes.
Then you need to get what God wants to do right now. We're not talking about working up something. We're talking about you seeking God for an answer for your life. We went to the hospital. We said, God, what do you want to say? We walked in there. It was an intimidating situation. We go up to the hospital. First of all, it was hard to even get in. you have to sign in and prove that you're who you say you are. You tell them you're a preacher and they go, who cares? Show us proof. Okay? In print. And so we go in there. It didn't used to be that way. I used to have gone into hospitals, prisons, all over the place because I told them I was a preacher. They didn't ask me for proof. They let me in. They respected me as a man of God. It ain't that way anymore. And then we get up to the floor where she was at, and they said, before you can go in, you have to clean up, wash, and then we have to put on gowns and face masks and all that stuff. And then they walk us into this room, and there must have been 8 or 10 doctors in this room with little Emelina laying there at the point of death. And they all look at us. They don't want us there. They are the experts, they think. They think they've got life and death in their hands. And they're not wanting us there. We're interrupting what they're doing. We're in the way. But for whatever reason, they said, okay, we'll let you do your little thing. Just get it done and get out of here. They didn't say those words, but do you know what I mean? When you felt that, they might as well have said the words. But I don't care what they say. I don't care if they like it. You remember when we started this church and I said, I don't want to offend you. But I would rather offend you than God, because I can have church without you, but I can't have church without God. And we're not going to take any votes here because the majority of people are carnal. You remember me saying those? If you hadn't heard it before, I just said it. It's on record. Get the recording. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt you. But I want God. And I don't care what everybody else says. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. And that's what Mr. Noah said. The whole earth was populated, and they would not listen to God. And God provided a boat big enough for the whole world to get on, and they didn't come get on it. But Noah said, well, the rest of you can drown if you want, but I'm going to believe God. And he said, and Mrs. Noah, you're going to get on that boat too. And she didn't say, I got my rights and we're equal, and I'm going by my last name. She submitted. She got on that boat, and guess what? Little Noah Jr., Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their three wives, all 8 of them got on the boat. And guess what? They believed God, and they lived. And the rest of the world who wanted to vote on it, the rest of the world who wanted to argue, the rest of the world who wanted to make fun, guess where they are? Well, you can only tread water for so long. So we go in there with little Emelina, and we pray. We just stood there and said, God, what do you want to do? And then we just stood there and waited. Is this what we did? And then God spoke to Sue. I am going to heal her. Now, God didn't tell us how. He didn't tell us when. He reserved that right because he's God. He gets to do it the way he wants, when he wants, how he wants. We simply believed God enough. Sue believed God enough to speak it to mommy. God is going to heal your daughter. She's at the point of death. Why do you think there was 8 or 10 doctors in that room in critical care or whatever you call it? She was going to die. We spoke what God said. We can't tell Mercida how, when, where, what. We could just say, God's going to do this. Mercida had nowhere else to go. She believed what we said. She believed, because that lady told her, they prayed for me and my husband before, and God got an answer. Matter of fact, that's why she came, because she heard it said, we need a miracle. And she goes, I remember where you can get a miracle. There's this old little church down here on Division. They got a sign out front and says, free coffee with Jesus, need prayer. They don't look like much, but God's there. She said, I know where we can get a miracle. We need a miracle? I remember now. Because God had done something in her life when she came to us. She wants to tell me even today what we prayed and what I said. I don't remember saying all that. I just said whatever God said to say. God, you want to say something to this woman? Yeah, tell her this. And then tell her that 3 days from now, her husband's going to get something in the mail and going to get hired. How would I know that, for crying out loud? Can't even trust Tommy Turtle, the mailman, to get it there in 3 days. How am I going to know that? I simply said what God said to say. And she got healed and her husband got a job 3 days later when the thing came in the mail. Just like I said it. So when they needed a miracle, she remembered. Hey, I know where we can get a miracle. These doctors aren't doing it. Going paying money at that little church over there with the steeple and the stained glass windows ain't doing it. But I know where we can get a miracle. And so she came. And we went there. We can't heal anybody. God does it. God, what do you want to say? We're standing there. There's eight professionals, can't do a thing. They're all scurrying around, looking at the lights, all have stuff on them. They're all, you know, supposed to be professional. And I appreciate that. But they're limited. My God's not limited. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Look at the first verse. If we never even got past the first verse, look at the first verse. Now, faith. Let me give you a simple definition for the word faith. You ready? Real simple. Moving on what God says. You believe God, and because of that, you move. You will never find faith without action. Matter of fact, in James chapter 2, around verse 20 to the end, it says, you say you believe God? Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You tell me that you believe something, but you don't prove it. You just mouth it. He says, I'll show you. I'll prove to you that I believe God because by what I do. See, I believe God's going to take care of my financial needs. So I tithe. Do you understand? And I don't put $10 in there anymore. I wish God would bless me or give me that permission just to put $10 in there. That would be fine. But 10 has been a long time since I put 10 in there. See, I trust Him to take care of me. Do you have needs? Is it working doing it the way you're doing? You got more than enough? Why don't you do it God's way? Why don't you see what will happen if you trust God? That's just one area. That's just one area. Real life situation. We're just minding our own business, doing whatever we're doing. Probably playing with my fish or something. I don't know. And she comes and knocks on our door, opened the door, and she and another lady used to come to our church because she went to our old building and we weren't there. When we were having church in the house, in between, remember? And she says, I don't know how to find them. So she went and found a lady that came to our church. They came and knocked on the door. And somebody had just called from the church or something. I thought it was Tom, if I remember correctly. And I thought he was coming over. So all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door and I said, come on in. And here comes two women walking in my house. And at first I didn't recognize either one of them. I went, whoa, 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 whoa. I think it's these telemarketers or whatever you call them, people coming for money or whatever they're doing at your house. Oh, no, no, whoa, I didn't mean to invite you in. And I go over there, and all of a sudden I recognize the one woman. She wasn't coming to our church anymore, but she knew where we lived. And she brought her. And the other woman said, they've got they need healing or they need a miracle or whatever she said. I don't know. And she said, would you come to the hospital? She's dying. A two-year-old. How could I say I have faith and I don't move? How can you say you have faith and you don't move? Do you believe God? When you walk away from this, we're looking at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not seen. I believe this, so I'm going to do that. I'm letting you know things are coming that are not good. If you believe it, you're going to start preparing. If you don't believe it, you're just going to keep doing what you've done. And then when it happens, you're going to come to us after you've lost everything, maybe your life or the person next to you, and you're all distraught and distressed and saying, help me. It's not that we're going to turn you away, but if you get prepared before then, you won't have to go through the loss to the extent you're going to go through if you don't listen. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith is the substance. It's tangible of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the proof of what you believe, of the things not seen. I want you to look at verse 2. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. In other words, they got a good report card from God. They had faith, so God marked them with good grades on their report card. By faith, they obtained a good report. You want a good report card from God? I'm asking. Okay, let me ask you this, because I don't know what you're thinking. You know, when somebody goes like this, do you know what they're thinking? I would rather somebody be a jabberjaws like me. I at least know what they're thinking. You quiet people make me nervous. I could deal with the talking. It's you quiet people. I don't know what you're thinking. Do you know that you are going to stand before God personally, not with your mate, not with me, by yourself, naked, you're going to stand before God. No hiding. Do you know that? Do you know that? Three of you, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Do the rest of you know that? You are going to stand before God. You are going to give an account of your life. I want to get a good report card from God. You? Don? You want a good report card, don't you? That's right. How are we going to get a good report card? Is there somewhere else in there that talks about his report card? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness or report that he was righteous. Who said he was righteous? God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, beamed up, that he should not see death. And he was not found. Why? Because God had translated him before. For before his translation, before he got beamed up, he had this testimony, he had this good report that he pleased God. Look at verse 39. You at the end of the chapter? Verse 39. Come on. There you go. And these all, having obtained a good report card, through faith, received not the promise. You see, we think this is not, I'm sorry, by the way, this is not like TV preaching. I'm not going to tell you everything you want to hear, give you some magic piece of cloth, and have you send your 50 bucks so you can live prosperously and in health. I'm not playing that game. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear when you leave here. You're not always going to have warm fuzzies. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have customers that call me, and they say, well, other companies told me this. I said, you get to choose who you're going to believe. I said, for 23 years, half my business is redoing the competitor's work. If you want to pay for it twice, have fun. I said, you're going to call me. And when you do, now I'm going to charge you more because I have to undo what they did to do it right. I'm not saying nobody does a good job, I tell my customers. I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. Now, here's the truth about your job. What are you going to do? You just want the cheap way out? You're just looking for, you know, you want a Cadillac and pay for a Kia. It doesn't work like that. You get what you pay for. Anybody old enough in here to know that? Do you get what you pay for? Have you ever noticed that nothing cheap is ever good and nothing good is ever cheap? Have you ever noticed that? When you read this chapter, it talks about people just like you and me and how they got a good report card from God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They got a good report card from God. Instead of going on, because of time, I'm going to give you these verses. Write them down. We'll read these verses later. We'll talk about them later. But I want you to write them down. Now, I'm giving you homework. This homework, young lady, homework. Homework is for you to go home and read your Bible. I'm giving you verses, and the homework is for you to go home and read your Bible. You ready? Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And here's the thing you want to put above these verses. And then shall every man have praise of God. And then shall every man have praise of God. Or just make it simple, praise from God. You want to get praise from God? I don't want to get the opposite from God. I'd rather get praise from God. You want it? Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done. He wasn't ordering steak. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, somebody didn't say, are you done yet? And he said, stick a fork in and find out. He didn't say that. That's not what he was talking about. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Look at verse 23. Matthew 25, 23. His Lord said unto him, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. John 5:44, Jesus said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another? And here's where he's encouraging us, drawing us, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. He said, you need to seek the honor that comes from God. Man's honor is going to come and go. Have you ever had people accept you and think you're good, but then you don't agree with them. Then you take a stand of something they don't like. Then you say something they don't like. What do? Do they change? Do they humble themselves? They say, oh, I must have been mistaken. Or do they kick you where the sun don't shine? Do they turn their back on you? Do they cut you off? Do they start doing this about you? You want praise that comes from God. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, do you know what they get? They get eternal life. That means the ones that don't do that, guess what they get? I don't want that reward. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. I'm going to hide over here. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to let anybody know. And God says, really? Seriously? You think I don't know? You think I'm not going to, you're going to hide it from me? He says, I'm going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and I will make manifest, I will reveal, I will make clearly known the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I want you to know there's two judgments. The first judgment you don't want to be in. The first judgment you'll find in, this is just on the side. This is just side notes. You don't have to go look this up, but for your life, I would encourage you to do so. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. It talks about standing before the judgment seat of God. You don't want to appear in that judgment, because everyone that appears in that judgment is going to be eternally damned, eternally going to hell. You want to be in the judgment seat of Christ. See, Jesus already took what I deserve. I am already eternally forgiven. Why do we stand in the judgment seat of Christ then, if we're already eternally forgiven? Because now, what have you done with Jesus since Jesus saved you? How did you believe God? Because your actions follow. See, some of you in this room tell me you believe in God, but your actions, your choices, reveal what's really in your heart. Do you follow what I'm saying? We're going to all stand that know Jesus, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now let's go on with what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commendeth or approves himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth, who the Lord approves. That's why we have accountability partners. We all can be in deception, including me. So I invite people to speak into my life. I don't always like what some of you little knickerbockers say. You little pollywogs. I don't always like what you say. But I'll go home and I'll pray about it. Sometimes I don't like the way you say it. You know. I don't like it. But I don't care if I like it or not. I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray about what you said, because it's the message, not the messenger I have to deal with. The messenger God's going to deal with. I forgive you if I need to. And then I go home and I ask God to tell me about the message. I don't always like the message. I like to think I'm right. Anybody else like to think they're right? Anybody else like to be wrong? Like to be embarrassed? Like to be showed you that you're wrong? Anybody else like their sin presented to them? How about in front of everybody? You like that? None of us do. But the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:18, for not he that commends or approves himself is approved, but he that's approved of God is God approving. And by the way, if you can't stand before me, you don't like me asking you questions or somebody else, how do you think you're going to stand in front of God? You think I got a big nose? Dude, he holds the whole world in his hand. What kind of nose do you think he's got? He's going to stick it in your business. But it's because he loves you. He doesn't want anything but the best for you. He wants your blessing. He wants your peace. He wants your health. He wants you to have sweet Jesus in your marriage. He wants you to have sweet Jesus in the presence of the Holy Spirit with your kids. He wants your kids to grow up in such a way that they're a blessing to you. So he sticks his nose in our business. Sorry, just throwing that out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. For by faith the elders obtained a good report card. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith. Oh, I believe. He says, do you? He said, let's put some fire to it. That the trial of your faith. Let's try your faith. Let's see if you've got faith. Let's see how much faith you got. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Last verse, 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, when the chief shepherd shall appear, then you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. If you're looking for all your rewards here, you probably don't know Jesus yet. If so, maybe you're immature, little Christian. Because I'm not going to get all my rewards here. I'm a pilgrim. This isn't even my home. God, when Sue and I met and we got married, right away, God helped me to understand this. This world, I'll just sing you a little song. Because I know y'all like it. Okay. How many? Request it? Okay, good. All right, here we go. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. Go ahead, beam me up. From heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Sue and I, in the beginning, when we got married, because we are not citizens of this country, this world. We were saved out of this world. We're not friends of this world. We're friends of God. If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. I'm a friend of God. My wife's a friend of God. 36 years ago, we made an agreement. We're pilgrims. That means we're willing to live in a tent. Because it's a temporary place. So we told God 36 years ago, God, we'll never buy a house. We'll just rent. You want us to go live in a trailer or go live in a, which we started in, or you want us to go live in a tent, which is kind of really where we started out in Arizona? If you, whatever you want, it's temporary. If you want us to move, we'll move. He thought we meant it, so he's moved us 31 times. And then God brought us to a place and said, no, I want you to buy a house. But it wasn't until we, it was like, actually it was the first, I think it was first church we started down in Texas. He had us buy a house. And then when we left, he said, now give the house to the church. What are you living for? Do you believe God? Do you, see, if you believe God, you're going to start praying about your life. You're going to pray about everything. Do you think that mate is too big for God? Do you think your bills are too big for God? Do you think your problems are too big for God? Do you think your health is too big for God? God is bigger than the boogeyman, bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. For God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's looking out for you and me. That was scriptural, you know. I mean, got it from a scriptural source, you know. Chapter and verse, I know. Look at the concordance under boogeyman, you know. Folks, we'll do it this way. Are you a disciple of Christ? I'm asking you. Are you a disciple of Christ? Well, there's some devil's disciples that are I just ended the sermon. Now I'm doing something else. Are you ready? There's some devil's disciples that are coming against Burning Bush. They walk or ride up and down out here. They curse this church. They curse this resale shop. They curse me, which for some reason it doesn't bother me. God is bigger. But my wife said this morning, she said, Harvey, I believe that God wants us as a church to pray against the attack of the devil's disciples against us. Do you know what a disciple is? It's someone who's a disciplined follower. Well, they're not disciples of Christ. They're the disciples of the devil. Real disciples of the devil. Antichrist. Now, how could I get you to pray with me if you're not even believing? If that terrifies you. See, that doesn't terrify me. Somebody came to me after I said I was going to this other country, and they said, well, there's this guy over in one of those countries, and I saw it on TV, and he's going around killing people. And what if that happens to you? And I said, then I get to go home. Remember? I'm in a foreign land. All these people talk funny. They don't talk like God. They don't act like God. They hurt me. I get to go home? And like, I'm supposed to be afraid of that? I want you to join with me if you can believe God. I want you to join with me and let's pray against these devil's disciples that are coming against God's work here, coming against God's people here, coming against God's purpose here. Can you join me with that?
Yeah.
Stand up if you believe with me on that. Stand up. God, you are bigger than the boogeyman. And we don't have to be afraid of him.
We don't have to be afraid.
But he's coming against us. He's coming against your house. He's coming against your people. He's coming against your purpose in this place. And right now, we just say, thank you, Jesus. We trust in you. You are all powerful. You are Almighty God. And we are depending on you. We want to rebuke the devil and his disciples coming against us here. We want to cast them in the very deep of which they're afraid.
In the very deep of which they are afraid.
Now, Lord, the people, if you could save them, we're asking you to have mercy.
If they will not be saved,
we are committing them into your hands. Now, Lord, help us to pray for our church, to pray for each other, and to pray for your purposes here. We want to seek your face every day and pray in agreement with you. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.